Hello, this is Todd Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, November 24th, 2020, coming to you from my home studio. We start on the front page with the Herald and Review editorial board's thankful article. Even through 2020's travails, there are positives. And this article is set on a green background of a variety of illustrated leaves. And it's set also behind an image of a beautiful golden roasted stuffed turkey with stuffing coming out of it and fruits, cranberries, potatoes, parsley, other greens around it on a platter. Looks like a wild rice blend off to the side, bowl of stuffing, and just the tip of a gravy boat showing on a beautiful lace doily on a, it looks like a pine or an oak stained table. So, let's start off thankful. Setting aside a day to give thanks is one of our country's finest traditions. We should share pride in this day and ponder the things for which we all, every race, every gender, every nationality, every religion, are thankful. Things are different this year, of course. A significant number of us are foregoing our tradition of large family gatherings and opting for a downsized version of the holiday. We're not mapping out plans for a Black Friday shopping charge. COVID-19 long ago eliminated any possibility of an area football team playing for a high school state championship. Some things won't change, however. Thanksgiving is a day for indulgence, and many of us will overdose on food and/or football. But here's hope all of us are able to take a break from whatever is occupying our attention and ponder some of the things for which we are thankful. First one is family and friends. Taking either for granted is easy. Especially now, remember them and don't be afraid to remind them how you feel. Just think of how you feel when someone randomly checks in on you. You can give dozens of people that same feeling with just a call, email, text, or note saying, "Hi, I'm thankful for you." Servicemen and servicewomen, past and present, thank them for their service and remind them of the assistance groups available. We continue to learn that members of our military aren't always taken care of or appreciated after their return. This is one of our country's greatest shames. Don't wait for them to ask for help. Let's do our best to make sure they know they're remembered. Freedom. Living in a country where criticism of the government results in arguments instead of jail is something that earns gratitude. Living in a country where our ability and opportunity to worship as we wish is a privilege. A roof, a warm bed, and a reasonably full pantry. Some of us have more or less than others, but once we see those who have little and aren't sure where they're sleeping next, our abodes become far more precious. Technology and our ability to afford and use it. Not so long ago, the idea of being able to carry in our pocket a small computer holding the entirety of man's knowledge along with thousands of photographs, hundreds of songs, and dozens of movies was the stuff of science fiction. Today, we have abundant options and opportunities. The things that make us laugh. It can be something we see, hear, think, or conceive. Laughter is mankind's most joyous sound. Law enforcement. The police in our Decatur region work tirelessly to make sure we stay safe. That job has become more difficult this year for a variety of reasons, be it public criticism or the pandemic or people on the street with raised outrage levels. Healthcare workers. Many of them are on the front lines of this pandemic, putting in long hours in uncomfortable but necessary protective gear. Some have even separated themselves from their families in fear of exposing them to COVID-19. Chocolate, or something else sweet, or something fried. On this day, we celebrate our plenty. We should enjoy it as much as we're able, as well as be as thankful as we are. Who says a double cheeseburger can't be a Thanksgiving feast? Sports and entertainment. We can spend other days fretting about the triviality of our amusements and distractions. If today can be a day to be overwhelmed by football or Hallmark movies or game shows or video games or anything that we enjoy, we can fret about the negatives of our pleasures at a later date, or ignore the negatives altogether and remind ourselves we can still receive rewards for surviving the year. Pets, we might take our critters for granted. We shouldn't. They don't ask much of us and give us so much in return. Your support group, we all need one, and we're fortunate to have them. Again, thank them directly. It can't be overdone. Put to use the start of the proclamation by President Abraham Lincoln that created Thanksgiving Day. The document was written by William Seward, Lincoln's Secretary of State, and signed by Lincoln on October 3, 1863. It begins, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. Happy Thanksgiving. We are thankful for all of you." And that is from the Herald and Review editorial board. Okay, so that essentially takes up the entire front page. That was very nice. Turn to page A2, the local section. Business leaders urge council to be cautious with city government. That's under the Decatur government section. This article's by Tony Reed, Decatur. As Decatur City Council members prepared to sit down for Monday night's 2021 budget briefing, business leaders had some advice for them. Take it easy on spending and be very cautious. Monday marked the second of two council study sessions taking a deep dive into the vast $170 million city budget. Council members and their professional staff are trying to tweak a financial blueprint that will guide Decatur through an upcoming year full of economic unknowns as COVID-19 threatens tax revenues and chokes business activity. My advice would be to tell them to be very conservative, said George Streckfuss, co-owner with Ryan Spurlock of the downtown Brass Horn men's fashion store and the Brass Horn 2 women's fashion emporium next door. Speaking before Monday's meeting got started, Streckfuss said he happily missed living through the great plagues of the Bible in medieval times, but said the terrible toll of COVID-19 has proved plenty bad enough. He's had to cut back on inventory orders and make other adjustments as the virus shifted shopping habits and shut his stores down through March, April, and May with earlier state-mandated lockdowns. He said the city council should budget for the toughest times it can foresee and then adjust on the fly, expecting the worst and adapting if the worst doesn't show up. Be conservative, and then you can be pleasantly surprised if things really come back, he added. I have always had a deep sense of optimism that things will always be better, and hopefully we have lived through the worst part of it. The city's budget problems come down to a lot of questions it doesn't have answers to. How fast will vaccines show up, and how fast will they allow normal business activity, like indoor dining, to resume? If vaccines are significantly delayed, what chance is there to get out of lockdown and back to normal life with the virus running rampant over the holidays? Further complicating the picture is the dire state of the state of Illinois' revenues. The land of Lincoln is beset with crushing debts, and after voters said a determined no to Governor J.B. Pritzker's bid for a graduated income tax, major cuts loom, and the state is likely to be on the prowl for any tax dollars it can claw back for its own needs. Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf previously told the Herald and Review that her city must brace for the worst, and that city staff job cuts, while an absolute last resort, can't be ruled out if things get really tight. Speaking at Monday's meeting, the mayor was openly skeptical of several 2021 budget predictions. One showed a 23% increase in the hotel-motel tax, projected by city staff to rise from a 2020 projected level of $649,529 to $798,000. Food and beverage tax income was forecast to rise 4% from a 2020 projected number of $3.166 million to $3.302 million. Moore Wolf pointed out that conferences were being canceled and some bars and restaurants were likely not to survive. "I've got real concerns about setting out expectations really high," she said. She was backed by several council members, including Bill Faber, who said a more realistic option might be to assume the overall city budget will be reduced by 10%. "I think it's important that we communicate the seriousness of the budget crisis to our citizens now and not give an optimistic and hopeful projection," he added. Greg D. Z. Yantara, the city treasurer, said the numbers were only projections and given the amount of uncertainty out there, any budget projection was tenuous at best. "We see so much uncertainty going into 2021 that with every budget we establish, whatever it is, it's going to be in a state of flux as we go throughout the year," he added. City Manager Scott Wrighton said staff were constantly revisiting the numbers and pointed to several other major unknowns. Negotiations with Decatur police and firefighter unions were continuing, with police officers were seeking an 18% cumulative salary increase over 3 years, while firemen wanted around 8%. Another problem clouding the financial picture is the city is scheduled to have its 2021 budget in place by December 21st after a public hearing December 7th, yet it won't know what the state is planning budget-wise for another 6 months. The state's fiscal year doesn't kick off until July 1st. Wrighton and Ziantara, in a briefing document prepared for Monday night's council study session, proposed adopting a series of regular financial checkups and basically following the Streckfuss approach of making budget adjustments on the fly. "Because of this collective uncertainty, it is recommended that the City Council revisit its 2021 budget on a quarterly basis and formally amend this critical financial document as needed," said Wrighton and Ziantara. They said the aim would be to make adjustment, big or small, to alter the budget to fit new circumstances that occur during the course of 2021. Anthony Walker, Decatur-based president of the Black Chamber of Commerce of Illinois, Inc., said the city needs to watch every dollar and not expect tax revenue from business to come roaring back anytime soon. Also commenting in advance of Monday's meeting, he said, "Remember, we're on a Tier 3 shutdown again in Decatur, as ordered by the governor, and while I do respect that, businesses were still just trying to bounce back from the first shutdown," said Walker. "I think everybody has got to be very frugal and studious in their spending." Deputy City Manager John Kinseth has spoken optimistically of the coming vaccines and their ability to put life and city revenues back on a regular footing. Walker shares some of the optimism, but overlaid with a heavy dose of caution. "If things do turn around, we don't know how quickly it will take them to turn around," he added. The mayor has, meanwhile, expressed her frustration at the lack of help, especially small business help coming out of Washington, D.C., as business and city government revenues get hammered by the virus. Walker shares those concerns, too. "I'm glued to the news every chance I get in the hopes that we can get some things turned around here, get an aid package agreed in Washington, D.C., he added. "I wasn't optimist on that, but now, well, I just don't know." Another vaccine showing promise in trials, Danica Kirka, D. Ann Durbin, and David Koenig, Associated Press. London, drugmaker AstraZeneca said Monday the late-stage trial showed its COVID-19 vaccine is highly effective, buoying the prospects of a relatively cheap, easy-to-store product that may become the vaccine of choice for the developing world. The results are based on an interim analysis of trials in the UK and Brazil of a vaccine developed by Oxford University and manufactured by AstraZeneca. No hospitalizations or severe cases of COVID-19 were reported in those receiving the vaccine. AstraZeneca is the third major drug company to report late-stage data for a potential COVID-19 vaccine as the world waits for scientific breakthroughs that will end a pandemic that has pummeled the world economy and has led to 1.4 million deaths. But unlike the others, the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine doesn't have to be stored at freezer temperatures, making it potentially easier to distribute, especially in developing countries. Biden official winter transition begins. Matthew Daly, Zeke Miller, and Mary Claire Jelinek, Associated Press, Washington. The General Services Administration ascertained Monday that President-elect Joe Biden is the apparent winner, that's in quotes, of the November 3rd election, clearing the way for the start of the transition from President Donald Trump's administration and allowing Biden, who has begun to assemble his cabinet and advisors, to coordinate with federal agencies on plans for taking over on January 20th. Trump, who had refused to concede the election, said in a tweet that he is directing his team to cooperate on the transition but is vowing to keep up the fight. Administrator Emily Murphy made the determination after Trump's efforts to subvert the vote failed across the battleground state, citing recent developments involving legal challenges and certifications of election results. Johannes Abraham, the executive director of the Biden transition, said in a statement that the decision is a needed step to begin tackling the challenges facing our nation, including getting the pandemic under control and our economy back on track. Murphy, a Trump appointee, had faced bipartisan criticism for failing to begin the transition process sooner, preventing Biden's team from working with career agency officials on plans for his administration, including in critical national security and public health areas. Please know that I came to my decision independently based on the law and available facts. I was never directly or indirectly pressured by any executive branch official, including those who work at the White House or GSA, with regard to the substance or timing of my decision, Murphy wrote in a letter to Biden. Trump tweeted shortly after her letter was made public, "We will keep up the good fight, and I believe we will prevail. Nevertheless, in the best interest of our country, I am recommending that Emily and her team do what needs to be done with regard to initial protocols, and have told my team to do the same." 12 candidates file to run for 3 seats on Decatur Council. Herald and Review Decatur. A total of 12 candidates have filed to run for the 3 available seats on the Decatur City Council, one short of the threshold that would have required a primary election. Jacob Jenkins, John Phillips, and Mark Girdler filed their petitions Monday, the final day of the week-long filing period, said City Clerk Kim Althoff. They join incumbents David Horn and Chuck Cooley, and challengers Anthony S. Chappell, Adolphus Cooper, Ed Culp, Elijah England, Hardik Shaw, Marty Watkins, and William Will Wetzel. Incumbent Pat McDaniel previously announced he was not seeking another term. The election is April 6th. Althoff said Monday that a primary election to whittle the list of candidates to 6 would have been required if a 13th candidate had filed. A lottery will be held on December 2nd to determine the ballot order for the 4 residents, Culp, Horn, Cooley, and Watkins, who were on hand when the doors to the clerk's office opened on the first day of filing on November 16th. The April 6th ballot also will feature candidates for school, park, and community college boards, among others. The filing period for those positions isn't until December. We move on to page A3, the local and state page. Free Thanksgiving meal still on. Mount Zion restaurant to be open for dine-in, others have carry-out. Articles by Garrett Karsten, Mount Zion. A Mount Zion restaurant owner is moving ahead with plans to offer free dine-in Thanksgiving meals despite state restrictions. "We're doing everything we're supposed to do," said Lika Bekteshi, owner of 4-star family restaurant, on Monday. "We have masks, we have our booths divided, we have hand sanitizer, and we don't sit no more than 6 people at a table. We're doing what the law requires." Statewide, COVID-19 guidelines announced Tuesday, November 17th, including updated restrictions to bars and restaurants prohibiting indoor service. State health officials and Governor J.B. Pritzker have said the restrictions are needed to contain the deadly virus. four-star 1100 State Route 121 will be going ahead with offering their free dine-in Thanksgiving meals, including roast turkey, stuffing, corn, and mashed potatoes to patrons from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We've been here for 10 years, and we wanted to do it again this year and look forward to it every year, said Bekteshi. And the free Thanksgiving meals are a way to say thanks and give something back to the community. According to the Village of Mount Zion, no legal action can be taken against businesses going against the state mitigations. It's from the advice of our attorney and from other law enforcement officials that the mitigation guidelines are not going to be enforced in court, said Corey McKenzie, village treasurer. He continued saying, the Village of Mount Zion respects that we're experiencing a worldwide pandemic and is encouraging all residents and businesses to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 by wearing masks, socially distancing, staying home, washing hands frequently, and abiding by the governor's guidelines. The following Decatur restaurants will be open on Thanksgiving for carryout only. Bob Evans, 3020 North Water Street, 217-875-4577, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Cracker Barrel Old Country Store, 5120 Hickory Point Frontage Road, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. 217-876-8036. Diamonds Family Restaurant, 2959 North Oakland Avenue, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. 217-875-6051. Garden Family Restaurant, 696 East Pershing Road, 217-872-7227. And Perkins Restaurant and Bakery, 2999 North Monroe Street, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 217-875-0743. Focus on education. Milliken offers special ed endorsement to special endorsement path to teachers. So under the Focus on Education section, this article is by Valerie Wells, Decatur. The teacher shortage has been an issue for years. The most acute areas are in special education and English as a second language. To help alleviate that shortage, Milliken University is offering a one-semester, four-course program to help licensed teachers earn a special education endorsement. This is a program that we are offering for currently practicing teachers, and if they're not practicing, they must possess their initial teaching license to pursue the special education endorsement promotion, said Pamela Barnes, director of Milliken School of Education. This is something that I think is needed throughout the state of Illinois. There's a shortage of special education prepared teachers, so this is a way that Milliken can help solve that by approaching those teachers that are already practicing and giving them an opportunity to add on an endorsement called the LBS1. That means Learning Behavior Specialist, Barnes said, and will provide credentials for teachers to work with students up to age 21. Thanks to a recent change in policy by the Illinois State Board of Education. Most districts hire in the spring for the following fall, and teachers who are taking the coursework will be able to apply for those jobs for the 2021-22 school year. In essence, we're offering an opportunity for teachers to complete the program and add the special education endorsement to their license before the fall of 2021, Barnes said. The four courses began with an online course during Milliken's winter immersion program, followed by two courses in the spring, where the teachers can take two classes back-to-back and finish with either a shortened course at the end of the spring semester or as a summer immersion course to complete the endorsement. Barnes said she hopes 30 to 40 teachers will sign up. If a general education teacher would like to have a different educational experience, consider special education, said Kathy Horath, executive director of Macon Piatt Special Education. Very often, special education teachers manage a smaller caseload than a general education teacher does. The work is very different, and each day is different than the last, depending on the level of support a student needs and the schedule of supports offered to each student by the day. A special education teacher is often regarded as an expert of figuring out new ways to teach a concept and also ways to modify customized curriculum for the students who require this. Special education teachers become close with their students, and they go above and beyond to ensure their students make adequate progress on their individualized education program goals. It is a very rewarding position. At present, Macon Piatt Special Education has 4 vacant positions, and Decatur Public Schools has 14 vacant special education positions, Herath said. Teachers in the field are sorely needed. Even if teachers don't want to apply for special education positions right away, the added endorsement will be there for the future. The more endorsements, the more jobs are open to a teacher. Teachers who are interested should apply soon and acquire their transcript if they did not graduate from Millikan. Teachers trained at Millikan have already taken one of the courses required and will only need the other 3. And teachers trained elsewhere might have an equivalent of that course, which the registrar can determine by looking at the transcript. A few scholarships are also available, Barnes said. And there's one photo here of Pamela Barnes, director of Millikan School of Education, speaking about a new teaching degree program in December 2019. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the first half hour. We'll take a break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, November 24th, 2020. Please stay tuned.